Right. Well, I think it is the top of the hour. Why don't we just get started and the rest of them who are joining us can join us?
Okay. So we shall. So welcome. Those of you I can see and those of you whose names I can see and those of you who are listening to me in the recording later. And I wanted to set a bit of context for today. So there are there are two kinds of calls like this that I've been on, webinars like this, masterclasses like this. One is where the presenter tries to give lots of value and then does a sales pitch at the end. This is not going to be one of those. The whole thing's going to be a sales pitch. But it's going to be a sales pitch in the form of massive value. So in other words, I'm going to do my best over the first part of our time together today to share what I think sets this approach, this program, the way I do this apart from what else you might choose to do if you're interested in this work and looking at a variety of options. My experience is you'll find that really interesting and helpful. And then I'm going to open it up to questions that you've got about the program. So I'm starting with the assumption that you're actually interested in the program. And so that's going to be the context, but I'm going to talk about it not in the facts. I'm going to talk about it in what's behind it. And I thought the way that I would begin is to share my first experience of what I now call transformative coaching, as distinct from the kind of coaching I'd been doing for 15 to 20 years before that. And I was doing 4 days of teaching in London. This would have been, I'm going to guess, around 2008, maybe 2000, somewhere in that range. And it was three separate trainings. So there was a Creating the Impossible day, there was a Financially Fearless day, and then there was 2 days called Coaching Magic. And they were three separate trainings, but a lot of people did all three of them. And so I had a steady group through. And something happened between day one and day two. So day one was great fun. And we talked about principles. And we talked about creating the impossible. And I worked with people. And it was great. And on day two, suddenly everything that I'd been talking about as a philosophy of how life works and how the principles work and there's nowhere to get because you're already here, and it got real. It got really real in me. I was suddenly, it went from information to grounding. It went from a neat set of ideas to literally the way the world looked to me. It had become insightful in a very real way, instead of ideaful, right? We're all full of ideas. But when something becomes insightful, it literally changes the way you see it. So I genuinely just didn't experience there being anywhere for us to get. I didn't experience anyone as broken or lost. I didn't experience anyone as screwed. I didn't experience anyone as particularly better off or worse off than anyone else. And consequently, when I worked with them, my experience of working with them was different because I had no agenda, because there was nowhere for us to get. Now, what was in a way worrying was the first seven people that I worked with from that place had huge breakthroughs. And it started to look like, oh, maybe the way to get people to have breakthroughs is to not have an agenda about them having breakthroughs. Like, I got into this whole thing. But fortunately, the eighth person, it went nowhere. And that was sort of a relief because it was like, oh, no need. Recognizing that there's no need for them to get anywhere is what opens up the space for them to get anywhere. And so I wanted to use that as a sort of a opening to kind of talk about what this kind of coaching that I teach on the Academy is and how it's different from both other things that people do in the coaching realm, but also other people, things that people do in the principles realm. As I see it, everything I say is going to be a gross overgeneralization. I'm not trying to argue a point. If you go, yeah, but this person's fine. trust me, that's not my point. My point, and I do have one, is that there is a difference between being what I'll call principle-centric, relief-centric, and potential-centric. So if you're learning to teach the principles, if there are a number of really good programs and really good teachers who share how to teach the principles, that's what I call principle-centric. So it is about sharing mind, consciousness, and thought as an understanding that will really help you and maybe even transform you in your life. I got nothing but time for that. And it's not the point of the academy. You will absolutely spend time doing it as part of your training on the academy. You will absolutely develop a facility with it because it's often a part of being potential centric is for somebody to see what's behind the potential and to see how it works. But being potential centric means that if somebody comes away awake to more of their possibilities, able to do more in their life, able to have a deeper and richer experience of life, but they can't tell you exactly what the principles are, you've done your job. And if they come away being able to beautifully articulate the principles and not really be up to anything in the world in any sort of a way that taps into any more of them than they were tapping into before, then you were doing a great job of teaching them the principles. Similarly, most coaching is what I would call relief-centric. So you're trying to give people relief from their insecure thinking that manifests as, I need a better job, I need a better partner, I need more money, I need my business to succeed, I need to change this habit, I need. What they want is relief. And so they'll find the coaching really helpful if it gives them relief from that insecure thinking, sometimes in the form of them seeing through it, and sometimes in the form of the circumstance changing so they don't have that thinking that active anymore. And it was genuinely helpful, and I have no problem with being helpful. I think it's really great to be helpful. But I don't think that's anywhere close to what's really on offer. And I think if all you want to do is be helpful, you probably can do that already. That's where coaching starts to look like paid friendship. Where you do the same for your clients as you do for your friends. You listen as best you can, you tell them what you think, and you hope it helps. And the measure of helpfulness in that kind of helpful relief-centric model is, oh, thank you, that's great. I was really worried about that, but now I'm not. Thank you, that's great. I really didn't know I could do that, but now I can. Please don't hear me wrong. I think it's wonderful to be helpful, and I think it's wonderful to teach the principles in and of themselves. I consider that one of the things I do is I am a spiritual teacher, and the particular articulation of spirituality that I tend to teach is in the form of the three principles as uncovered by Sid Banks. But transformative coaching to me is something more. It is about the human potential. It is about waking up to our deeper possibilities, to the deeper possibilities of life and what we can do with it. Here's one way to think about it. Teaching the principles is a vertical dimension, right? So you're helping somebody see, get an understanding of experience so that their relationship with experience changes. So they're getting an understanding of their states of mind so that they're less affected by higher and lower states of mind. They can ride both with grace. They can be grateful for their highs and graceful with their lows. Being helpful is primarily a horizontal dimension. So you're helping somebody within their current understanding of what experience is and where it comes from. You're kind of helping them either have better experiences or just get a more useful perspective on the experience they're having, right? That's the world of reframing and behavior change and goals. And, you know, it can be really helpful. But fundamentally, their understanding and experience of their experience is the same. It's just they're having a better one. Transformative coaching is multidimensional. It is horizontal and vertical and whatever other words I can't think of to describe dimensions are. In that, because what we're waking someone up to is their deeper potential, and what we're waking them up from is the illusion of how it works and the illusion of their own thought-created realities, it's probably going to have a positive effect on their experience. They probably will have better experiences more of the time. It's probably going to help them change the world of form and help them create more of what they want to create in the world of form, because when you're clearer and when you're thinking better and when you're not so caught up and when you're more present and when you connect with others better, you're going to do better. But it's going beyond that to wake them up to what's possible. So instead of just coming to you because they've decided what they want on a one-page menu and they want you to help them get that, you're showing them that it's not only a 30-page menu, but they have access to the kitchen and all the ingredients and can literally create anything, whether it's on the menu or not. So the three areas of transformative coaching that I tend to focus on, the three impacts, the three places, the three things I named the three intensives after, are insight, impact, and innovation. And I want to talk a little bit about each of them. So another way of talking about insight would be, and this is the most common way you'll hear it, is grounding. It's your understanding of how life works. Your genuine understanding of how life works, not your theoretical understanding, your intellectual understanding, your understanding as exemplified by how you live your life. Not because you're trying to live according to an idea, but because we're all doing what makes sense to us given the way the world looks to us. Your clients are and you are. I am. Right? That's why the coaching model, right, the simplest coaching model in the world is show up and respond to what shows up. That's all we can ever do as a coach. But our grounding will determine what we notice show up and what makes sense to us to do in response to it. So the model never changes. What you do as a coach never changes, right? You can take that away. You're already doing it. You watch any great coach. I don't care what model, what understanding, what modality they're in. They're showing up with their client and they're responding to what shows up, what they notice showing up in their client. Well, that changes according to your understanding. That changes according to where you see experience arising from. That changes according to how permanent experience looks to you. That changes according to what you can see behind the curtain, right? The behind the curtain is a Wizard of Oz reference, right? So the great and powerful Oz is this incredible, scary, wonderful wizard. And then Toto, the dog, pulls back the curtain and you see that there's a guy back there manipulating levers and wheels to create this illusion. Well, in a way, that's our entire experience of life. So coaches tend to share helpful ideas like be more present, like stop seeking, start living, like accept what is, like take action. Well, if you go behind the curtain, the reason why you would stop seeking and start living is because you're already there. This is already as good as it's going to get. We're already home. Sid Banks would say, every human being is already enlightened. You're enlightened right now. You just don't know it. Every human being is sitting in the middle of mental health. They just don't know it. We're all in Shangri-La, filled with fog, looking for Shangri-La. Looking harder is not going to help. And to the extent that you know that, that different things will make sense to you to talk to your clients about. To the extent that you see that their experience is a temporary thought-generating phenomenon, that their feeling of stress, of insecurity, of pressure is a temporary thought-created phenomenon, you're probably, it's not going to make sense to you to do a whole lot with it. But not because, the principles say do nothing. Not because, you don't have to do anything, just, your thoughts will change. Not because it's helpful, because you see a deeper truth. That's the nature of it. So it wouldn't make sense to you to spend a lot of time on it. It would make sense to you to spend as much time as it does. So you're not offering behavioral prescriptions. You're not offering platitudes. You're pointing people towards the truth behind life. And then they're going to come to a lot of the same conclusions as the platitudes point to. But it'll be completely different. Because they won't be thinking that they're not already there, trying to not seek, because you're not supposed to seek. They won't be thinking they're supposed to be present and blaming themselves for all the thoughts in their head because they're supposed to be able to control their thinking, but trying really hard not to. They'll see thought comes and goes, and with it experience comes and goes, and there is a constant presence. There's a constant hum in the universe, always on in the background. So what makes sense to do or not do changes as our understanding deepens. And so grounding is the essence of the first intensive. It's really the essence throughout the program. It's the place where the program is similar to programs that teach people about teaching the principles as the pure goal. Because without that grounding, you're flying blind. The more you can trust your instruments to be giving you accurate feedback, the more you understand what's really going on, the more what occurs to you will be genuinely helpful and transformative. Now, the second week we spend together, so we spend 3 weeks together as a group, and then in between each week, we have masterclasses. And the masterclasses I'll talk about in a minute in more depth, but they focus on grounding, they focus on coaching, and they focus on business building. But the 3 weeks, the first week we spend together will be focused on insight. It'll be focused on grounding. The second week we spend together in March will be focused on impact. And the true source of impact is presence. It's your transformative presence, which is great news and terrible news. It's terrible news because you cannot do a damn thing about it in the moment. It's great news because you don't have to do anything about it. It will naturally, I talked about this in London. I did a coaching session at the conference, at the Three Principles Conference, and I talked about it as amplification. That in a way, what we do as coaches is we act as an amplifier for mind. So to the extent that we don't have a lot in the way, other people can experience mind louder when they're with us. And it works the other way too. To the extent we got a lot of thinking, we amplify all the thinking in our clients. And that's what gets louder. And so we're like a signal booster for the universe. Right? It's easier for people to hear their wisdom at first when they're with us. And then gradually, as they see more, their signal boosts and they don't need to be around us so much to hear clearly and to distinguish clearly between two different broadcasts. And when you start to see that that's the source of impact and that there's nothing you can do in the moment about that. It takes even more off your mind when you're with a client. It lets you be even more present with them. It lets you be even more present to mind in the moment, to the intelligence of the system coming through you in the moment, and even less inclined to come up with good ideas to impress them or help them. And yet, people start having deeper and deeper experiences of being with you, and you don't necessarily know why. And you feel guilty charging them at first because you think, well, I didn't do anything. And then you recognize you're not charging them for what you do. They're paying for what happens to them, not what you do to them. They're paying for impact, not hours, not effort. And suddenly, charging becomes much easier and much more integral because you recognize you're charging for impact. Now, there's a longer and a larger conversation about charging that we'll have as part of the business building conversation, because sometimes you do just charge for hours, right? There's a lot of different ways you can charge, but ultimately, people hire you for impact. They don't hire you for what you know, they hire you for what they're able to see through working with you, what they're able to do through working with you. Now, the third week that we spend together, which will be in June, it'll be the final week that we spend together, is focused on innovation. Innovation in terms of fresh thinking, creative thinking, breakthrough thinking, the kind of thinking that companies need to turn around difficult situations, the kind of thinking that we as individuals benefit from that open up whole new business opportunities for us, whole new areas of life, whole new possibilities in our relationships that literally didn't exist in one moment and exist in the world a week later, right? There was a point where I started to see this in my own business. I started to see that all the really cool things that happened, all the really cool things I brought to the table didn't exist a couple of weeks before they were in the world. So it didn't make sense anymore for me to look to what am I going to do in 9 months? What am I going to do in a year and a half? Because I could see. I wasn't trying to not plan that far ahead. It just didn't make sense to, because I would see that wisdom arrives in the moment that you need it. It's responsive. It's real time. So it was natural to be more present and be more available. Now, here's two things about innovation that I want to talk about briefly that are a little different to the way that people often talk about coaching or think about coaching with the principles or from a principles understanding. The first is the key to innovation is disruption. Right? If you think of one of my favorite definitions of humor, is all humor is the derailing of a train of thought. So if you start to notice over the next few days, few weeks, that what makes you laugh is that you think it's going one way and it goes another. Well, that's not just the source of humor, that's the source of innovation. You're looking in a world of infinite potential and you're thinking the same 30 possibilities every time. So if you bump into a coach who doesn't buy the fact that these are the 30 possibilities or the 3 possibilities or the 2 possibilities, suddenly your world gets bigger. And it isn't always pleasant. In fact, it often is unpleasant. Good coaching is itchy, or at least it can be. Good coaching is disturbing, or at least it can be. So there's a phrase that literally I just came to mind an hour before this call, which is fierce gentleness. That's what we bring to our clients. Fierce gentleness. A willingness to destroy the false illusions at the basis of the way they've lived their lives for their entire lives. But an understanding that that's really fucking distressing. So we're willing to be kind to them. We're willing to be patient with them. We're willing to take our time. We get that it's disruptive. We don't think it shouldn't be. And so there's a gentleness to it, but it's a fierce gentleness. It's a willingness to cut off the arm to stem the infection, as opposed to going, there, there, death's not so bad. So if insight really is about grounding, if impact really is about present, innovation really is about responsiveness. This is where your artistry as a coach really comes into it, because you can't do anything about your grounding and you can't do anything about your level of presence. They will grow over time as you look in this direction, but in the moment you can't do anything. But your responsiveness in the sessions, that's why even people who understand the principles get value from working with coaches, because the one thing we can't do is shatter our own illusions. The one thing we can't do is disrupt ourselves easily, because we're in it. So it's really hard to break it. But as a coach, your responsiveness, your seeing the illusion, deciding to pull on a thread that might unravel a reality, being willing to poke the bear, even though the bear might growl. Being willing to, as Guillaume de Polinaire said, there's one of my favorite poems from the 19th century. Come to the cliff, he said. They said, we are afraid. Come to the cliff, he said. They came. He pushed them. And they flew. That's disruption. That's responsiveness. That's a willingness to do what will wake someone up to their deeper potential, what will show them what's possible for them, even when they might not like you for a little while. There is you'll notice if you've been around my work before, or once you start spending time around my work, you'll hear initials all the time. So it's not Super Coach Academy, it's SCA. It's not Infinite Potential, Infinite Possibility, it's IPIP. It's not Living from the Inside Out, it's LFTIO. It's not Holy Fucking Mother of God, it's HFMOG. Well, there was a new one that started making the rounds a little while back called FOMN. I was like, what's that one? And I said, fuck off, Michael Neal, because it's disruptive. Now, you got to be okay with that. Now, I'm not saying I don't want everyone to love me. I do. I'm kind of pathetic like that. I really wish everyone would just love me. I would only get positive reviews for everything I do on Amazon. And sometimes I do get caught up in my thinking and want to curl up in a little ball under my computer and cry. And I would never let that get in the way of transforming a client if I could. I would never let that get in the way of disrupting an illusion, of pulling a thread on the fabric of someone's, of the thing that's actually between someone and reality, between someone and their potential, if it's on offer. I might cringe. I sometimes joke that the emoji that I would use most often if life was emojis is hides behind sofa, right? Where you say something and then you hide behind the sofa so they don't throw tomatoes at you. But it would never stop me from saying it. And I say never. I'm sure sometimes it does, but not as often as I'd like. Right? Well, that isn't like, hey, you should be more like that. It's when you start to see what makes a difference with people, it just doesn't make sense to hold back. When you start to see that sometimes what people need to realize that they fly is to be pushed off the edge of the cliff, it wouldn't make sense to not push them. It doesn't look kind to not push them anymore. It looks cruel. It doesn't look helpful to go there, there. And yet, sometimes it does, because when somebody is being pushed off the cliff, when somebody is scared, you've been there too. You are no different to them. And so the there, there makes sense too. But it's not there, there, oh, don't worry about it. It's there, there, this is really scary, and boy, is it worth it. This may be really disruptive, and boy, are you going to be glad you did it. This may be messy for a while, and boy, is what comes out the other side going to be so much richer and better and more of what you really want. So those are the topics Now, one of the things that, again, for me, makes this a legitimate coach training as opposed to a how to facilitate the principles training is that I'm going to ask you to go out and coach people. I'm going to ask you to sit down with at least 50 people and be about their potential. Not share the principles, though you probably will a lot of the time, but see what you can do to wake them up, to help them get more out of themselves and more out of their lives than they're able to get right now. To do what occurs to you to do to help them see beyond the edge of their world. One of my favorite quotes about T.E. Lawrence, Lawrence of Arabia, is one of his men said, "We would have followed him over the edge of the world." Well, that's the kind of leader you want to be as a coach. You want your clients to be willing to follow you over the edge of their world because you know that it's round, not flat. And you know that even though it looks like there be dragons, there are no dragons. So we're going to look at this not just in the abstract, but in conversation. You will see so much more. One of the reasons we've upped the number, you'll get a minimum of 5 supervision sessions with a faculty member as part of the program where they'll listen to your coaching calls and they will feed back to you about your coaching. Because often that's where it's easiest to see what you really see and don't see. Because most of us can talk a good game. Most of us know the keywords, right? Mind, consciousness, thought, potential, love, loving kindness, beauty. Yes, you can, right? We know what to say, but in a coaching session, it becomes apparent whether or not we really see it or whether or not it's a learned platitude for us. So I sometimes liken it to if you get a puncture in your tire, in your car tire or bicycle tire, and you can't see it because it's very small, you put the tire in water and you rotate it. And when you find the puncture, bubbles, air bubbles start to appear in the water, and that's how you locate the puncture. Well, it's only in your actual coaching and teaching that we can see the leaks in your grounding. We can see where you can say it, but you don't see it. Or where you can see it, but for some reason you're holding yourself back from saying it. And so that is a huge part of the effectiveness of the program over the years. With the masterclasses, you'll get grounding masterclasses, and that's my opportunity to kind of bring in some of my favorite teachers and the principals. So this year, the group has had sessions with George Pransky and Dickon Bettinger, and they're having sessions with, who else has done grounding, Lynn?
Kathy Casey.
Kathy Casey, and they've got a session coming up with a wonderful woman teacher named Mavis Karn, and they've got a surprise session coming up with somebody I'm not allowed to tell because it's a surprise. And but then there's also, so every there's something every week. So 1 week you'll have grounding, the next week you'll have coaching. So this year, again, what I do is I bring in some of the best principles-based coaches that I know and give them real clients to work with, not people in the group. So Mara Gleason came in and coached a guy who runs a series of co-working spaces here in Los Angeles and is trying to expand worldwide. And she coached him. He knew nothing about the principles, nothing about Mara. He just wanted to grow his business. And Mara worked with him. And you got to see it and then ask Mara questions about what she did. I brought Garrett Kramer in to work with the heavyweight boxing champion of North America. And this guy did not know Garrett, does not know the principles, didn't speak much English, but actually it was fantastic. It was one of my absolute favorites, just watching somebody be coached. He wanted to be a more impact. He wanted to be a better fighter. He wants to win the global title, not just the North American title, right? Aaron Turner came in and coached the owner of a jam company, that has jams in a lot of the gourmet shops across America and on QVC. I brought in one of my old apprentices, Mads Kvist from Denmark, and he coached a lieutenant in the army based in South Korea on how to build morale in his troops. So you'll get a chance to see great coaches coach real people, the kinds of clients that you will hopefully be working with in the world and what that's like, and get to ask questions about it afterwards. And then every third week, we'll have a business building masterclass where we'll look at, assumedly, most of you want to make money doing this. And that's an art and a science too, like everything else. So we're not going to give you, you'd be shocked if we gave you 17-step formulas for how to do this and 14-step marketing formulas. And, you know, you'll notice by the vomit gag reflex every time the word niching is mentioned around me that we're probably not going to spend a lot of time on niching. But what we will talk about is what gets in the way of getting good at it. Because you can learn to sell, but most people won't let themselves. You can learn to market effectively, but most people won't let themselves. They look at it as something to be gotten over with, something to get through. How little of it do I need to do and still be able to survive? Well, wouldn't it be cooler if you could love it? If you could find your unique way of doing it that you love doing as much as the coaching? Now, a lot of this has been developed from what we've learned from past academies. So we interview people after the academies and we see where did they get stuck? And that informs how we do it. You're going to get the benefit of that in 2018. We're going to sit down with the 2017 guys over the next 6 months. And we're going to see what's really working for them and where are they still a little bit stuck. And that's going to inform how we teach you in 2018. So it is one hell of a commitment. In all honesty, this ain't easy, right? But boy, if you are interested in this, I do not know of a better way to develop your skills, to develop your artistry, to grow your grounding in this particular version of the transformative conversation, which is about helping people who are up to something in the world be up to it better from a deeper place inside themselves and to wake up to more of their potential along the way. So that ends the sermon portion of this masterclass. And I'd love to answer any questions you guys have. So Lynn, how do they do it? They raise virtual hands?
Yes. So if you guys who are not Zoom veterans, I know many of you are, if you could enter a little participants box at the bottom menu, you will see a little option to raise your hand. And then Zoom will do all sorts of technical things and I will be able to see a little digital hand. Or you can just wave and I can see if I can find you that way. Debbie's up. Go for
Hello.
It. Unmuted.
Oh, hello. Am I unmuted? Hello.
You are unmuted.
I've got a couple of questions. Thank you. So my first was what you're assuming we have before we start the program. Because because that sounds too active, but living the principles in my life, I would think is the kind of priority, and then taking it to others. But does your program develop both together?
I am starting with the assumption that you have a body, a brain, and 6 months. If you don't have one of those three, not a good fit. And the reason I start with that basic a premise is because I've learned over the years that I used to have people come to me for coaching who'd been in the principles for 20, 30 years, who knew Sid really well. And I would just sort of start with it. Well, they know the principles, so let's just talk about their life. And I was consistently surprised that none of us know the principles, no matter how long we've been studying them. So I don't start with any premise of prior knowledge, and yet I've never had somebody go on board, because in fact, this is the conversation. This is the truth about what it is to be a human. You can always see more, and when you do, your world changes. So that's the prerequisite. Three.
Great.
Body, brain, 6 months.
Okay.
Right. Question two.
Question two. So I've been listening along. I listened to your coaching sessions for Hay House, and I'm disrupted because I listen. I think how I'd coach that person, and then you go off somewhere completely different, and I'm left in hysterics. But it seems like the end of the session, people are pretty much done. So I wondered if you had a particular format where you have a program meeting people weekly or fortnightly, or whether it's all, flexible. I just wondered how it worked, and if you've got a series of sessions, whether you kind of end up trying to say the same thing in a different way in the next session.
Well, so it makes sense, and it's a really good question. The simple, honest answer is it depends. So I will always begin, or pretty much always, near as damn it, always begin with an intensive of some form, because I find that until there's some kind of a shared grounding, the conversation's not being heard the way it's intended. After that point, there are clients who I've worked with for years, and the reason that they would keep coming back isn't because they didn't hear me the first 750 times, right? The reason that they keep coming back is because it's a fresh disruption. It's fresh to what's going on for them. It may be about somewhere where they're stuck and not seeing, or it may be about somewhere where they just know there's a deeper level. So sometimes it's just touchstone and reminder, and sometimes it's deepening, and sometimes it's opening and expanding. So there is no, some people are quite happy. They come and go, oh, wow, yeah, my life's better. Thanks. But actually a lot of people love the fresh in the moment interaction that leads to innovation, that leads to continually generating new possibilities and ideas, that's almost like an insight partnership where the sum of the parts, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. What is able to be seen by them when you're looking with them is just that much more than they could see on their own. So does that speak to it, Debbie?
It does, yes. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks. What else? What else would be helpful? Because the reason we're doing this today, this is not the deadline for booking. The deadline for booking is when we're full. But this is the deadline for booking cheaper. So I want to be sure that if you do have questions that you're kind of wanting to get answered before you make the decision, that I can answer as many of them as I can today. And if you still have more questions when we're done, Lynn, how do they reach out to you?
They can just email me. So you can either email me at Lynn, LYNNE at michaelneal.org, or you can schedule time in my diary using supercoachacademy.com. There's a little button to schedule in my diary. Cool.
And so if there's anything that I can't answer for you, or that comes up after the call, or if you're listening on the recording and wished I had answered a question, you can reach out to Lynn. And
I will pass all the difficult ones on to Michael.
That's right. There you go. Yeah. It's a perfect teamwork.
Absolutely.
What else would be great? What else would be great to, what other questions do you have? What else would be great to know?
Sandra has a question. Go ahead, Sandra.
Hi, Michael.
Hello.
I wanted to know, do you ever teach children, coach children?
I have conversations with children. It depends what age you mean, actually. Some people include 26-year-olds as children.
No. I mean, high school.
But I don't tend to think of it as coaching in the same way. Though it would depend on the person. What I've found with most of the young people I've worked with is they're at the stage where a good conversation is enough. They're usually not messed up enough to need like long-term. Like they're still in that very open, fertile place. And so often it's just a little nudge that they need to get back on track. But I don't have rules about it. For a little while I had what I called the underground railroad of troubled teens. Where because I was one, just people around me kind of knew that if their kids were struggling, I would take them to lunch, and they usually seemed to be struggling less after lunch. I have coached, you know, children of some people who can afford to hire me, but that was usually when they were at a stage beyond high school where they were going out into the world and they needed extra kind of support or wanted extra support to kind of begin their lives on their own.
So if I would do Supercoach Academy, would it be possible for me to have the conversation with teens, because that's why.
Yeah, if they have like, if they have a brain and a body, you can help them.
Okay.
And I'm not. I know that sounds maybe a little pat, but actually, no. We all have this same deeper potential. We all have this same intelligence running through us, and we're all up against the outside-in illusion. We're all up against the fact that it really looks like life is doing it to us, even though it's never life that's doing anything to us.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, who's next?
I want it to be Bear, and I want him to be a real bear.
You can't speak to Bear.
Can I? No.
I know I'm friends with Bear. You can't speak to
Bear.
Okay.
All right. No, like, wouldn't it be great, though, if Bear's camera suddenly came on and there was like a bear there and he started chatting to it? I think that would be great. Oh, sorry, Bear. Okay. You must get that all the time. But this is where my mind goes.
We shall see. Robbie's got his hand up. Go ahead, Robbie.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much.
Hey, you bet.
So I guess my feeling at the moment is that I'm not quite, but I'm curious, and I've loved what you're saying about the program, and the idea of that level of commitment kind of appeals and gets me a bit excited, although also a bit scared. Great. My feeling is I'm not ready quite. And so I guess I've got two questions. There's like a practical one, i.e. will you be running again in 2019? And then I guess the less practical one, a lot of that readiness is that I definitely don't have the kind of embodiment of the principles, and I'm still quite like, you know, I'm in that intellectually read some of it and heard it. And I guess because it's based so much on that, despite the fact that I love everything you're saying about the impact and the innovation, and that feels like that's the kind of coaching I want to do. There's this like skepticism slightly, or like I don't quite get it around the principles. So that's what makes me feel like it's just a bit early. I need to like look into it more, maybe work with a coach who's worked on that kind of stuff and learn it. What do you think?
Well, I think it depends. Like I could neither tell you, oh no, you're ready, or oh no, you're not. But yeah. I can question the idea of readiness. The idea, it's sort of like you saying to me, you know, I don't know if I know enough about aorta and capillary action to go to medical school. Like, that's kind of the point of medical school, right? So to say you don't feel you get this enough to come on a course that is entirely designed to deepen your understanding of it, it doesn't quite follow to me. So for me, I wouldn't go that way. I would go with, I want to, I don't, more than I'm ready according to whatever abstract idea I made up of what readiness looks like, or in point of fact that I would make up. I can tell you that you will struggle, since we begin our pre-calls, and they're just pre-calls. I mean, they're not the academy, but we begin our pre-calls in June. So for you to spend a year with me and not come out with a deep grounding, I don't know many people who've pulled that off. You've got to be pretty damn good to not let me get to you. I won't say it's impossible, but hell, Lynn's here. So I can say that. I can say that with a great degree of confidence. And I can also say, you know, I often tell the coaches that we train that you've got kind of two secret weapons. You've got two things on your side that are often overlooked. The first one is that what we're talking about is true. So even if you don't do a great job of pointing to it, people are likely to see something useful because it's there. So even before your grounding is as good as you'd like it to be, and trust me, your grounding will never be as good as you'd like it to be. But even before that, people will start having those kinds of breakthroughs and impact simply because of where you're pointing. The second thing we've got going for us, besides the fact that what we're pointing to is really there, is that no matter how resistant someone seems, they're in the room with us. the people who really don't get this aren't on the call, Robbie. So from my point of view, that neither of those are reasons to do or not do the program. Do or not do the program because you really, really want to, or you really, really don't, that's fine. But you don't need to make up a reason.
Yeah, no, I like it. It's great. Thank you very much for that. Useful and all sorts of
things. Cool. What else? What else is out there? Got time for probably one or two more if they're there.
Yeah, time for about one more, I think.
Pam.
Where is Pam?
In the very sunny garden. There she is.
Pam, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Quick question. Just you were saying that during the course you're expected to coach like 50 people. You help us to get those people, and what if you can't find 50 people to coach, and how does that work?
Well, so yes, in two ways. I help you find those people. We do cheat it a little bit. You know, we've got a big network, and we run the academy in conjunction with Creating the Impossible. So one of the things that we offered this year that was very well received both by the academy students and by the Creating the Impossible people is we connected them up. So a lot of people got their first clients, not paid clients, because I ask you not to charge them because they're paying me. But some people did go on to hire their coaches. But those first sessions we will help you with. But the other thing is, getting clients is what's going to keep you in business. So if you find that really difficult, it's really good for us to take that on together while we're together and not go through the training and go, I am great at this. If only anyone would ever hire me, right? So we want you to have that problem if you have it while we're together so that we can help you with it, not by giving you clients, but by showing you how easy it is to find people who would like to actually have better lives. See, it's much more difficult to find people who want to learn the principles. Like I wouldn't back me on that one. Like yes, they show up, but I don't know how to do that. But if you say, do I think that you can find 12 to 15 people a year who would like to get more out of themselves, who would like to bring more of their genius to the fore, who would like to be better equipped to take on their big projects in life, who would like support and development as they do the work that they do, who would like better relationships, who would like to be able to make more money, who would like to have a deeper relationship with God and the divine. Yeah, I can find you about a billion of those. So that's the beauty of it, is when you start to see what you've got to offer and that it's not abstract, mm-hmm. It's very tangible, suddenly people are everywhere that would be great clients. And things that I never thought I would do in my coach training, like going up to people and saying, hey, I think you should hire me. Stop seeming like grand Tony Robbins style scary things and just start looking like, oh my God, I'm carrying oxygen around and this guy's gasping for breath. Here, let me help you.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good question.
Okay, Christy is the last one. Go ahead, Christy.
Hello, everyone.
Well, hey, Christy, it's all on you now. This is it, the whole thing. No pressure, but I just want you to know.
Well, I'm going to piggyback on Robbie a little bit, what he asked, because cool. I feel like this is something I'm going to do, but at the same time, I feel like there's more for me to see so that I can get that word again more ready. Paired with, I'm in a big transition in my life and I don't quite know when it's all going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to give all my all to it. So, and Robbie asked that about, is there going to be a 2019? So that's one question. The other is, yeah. what are you hearing there?
Well, so, okay, let me give you the honest answer. A definite maybe, like probably, but I did 2010 to 2012 and then I didn't want to do it in 2013. I needed a break. I did it 2014. I didn't do it in 2015. I did 2016. I'm doing it through 2018. So I don't know. I'm not being coy. I'm deliberately not pre-making that decision.
Right.
If I had to bet, I would bet that I will. And I'm not promising that I will. So it's like I'm just trying to be like, Lynn knows it's annoying, but I don't know.
You're so political about it.
Oh, no, because I'm being truthful. That's not political, is it? In answer to the other part, it's the same funny idea we have that we can evaluate our readiness for something. Like, if we really were any good at that, creating the impossible would be a silly idea, because we would just know which things we could create and which things we wouldn't ahead of time. There are a whole lot of resources that you have that you won't know that you have until you need them. There's a whole lot of wisdom and things that you know about life that won't even occur to you that you know until you're in a position to draw on them. So the one thing I can say decisively is neither you, nor Robbie, nor Bertie, nor Joe, nor Debbie, nor me has a frickin' clue whether we're ready for anything. And so that, to me, makes it a very useless decision criteria. So I go back to, what do I know to do? And if I know to go, go, jump in. And if I know not to, don't. Like, there's literally, like, why would you do it if you don't know to do it, or don't want to do it? And why would you not do it if you do? So that would be my only thing, is don't talk yourself out of this. But you don't have to talk yourself into it either. You probably already know. And all we're doing today is giving you an opportunity to make that decision while we're still at the lower enrollment price. And if you're interested, but like, you need a day, like, talk to Lynn. I mean, we're not going to, you know, if you can't come back to us tomorrow, having been on this call, we're not going to say, oh, too late. But in a week or two, we will. At the moment, we're planning on capping this one at 40. People in the room. We've had academies as big as 78 was the biggest one we did. I found that was a little too big for me to get my hands on as much as I wanted to. I like to get to know everybody in the academy. So if you're in the academy, we will get to know each other. You will also be working with other faculty, but that's why I have a number. You know, so that's, you know, I think we're at 18 as of this morning, Lynn.
Yeah, I think so. And then I'm basically going on calls for the next 4 hours.
Right. So, you know, you'll have a little bit of time if you decide later. We're not going to, I'm not expecting to sell out this week, but I did want to make the opportunity for people who are kind of ready to jump in this week. And also we'll start the pre-calls in June. Listen, guys, I'm supposed to jump. Thank you very much. If you have more questions, please, lynn@michaelneal.org, lynne@michaelneal.org, or if you go to supercoachacademy.com, you can put yourself straight onto her calendar. And those of you who join us, I promise you, it is going to be one of the most memorable years of your life starting in June. And that's been one of my favorite things about it, is meeting with people who've done this course back as far as 2010. And being at a conference in Prague and a conference in London with people who are now working in prisons, who are now running companies, who are now doing things that, political stuff, stuff that wasn't even in my imagination as what you could do once you have this set of skills. Thank you very much. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. 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 Bye.